No book is any better than the person who is reading it. No audience rises above or falls below the speaker. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. But back to the value of a book, I feel like since we are of immeasurable value, of unsurpassable worth, every book that we read is exactly of the same value, because that is where we're giving our attention. There is beauty in everything. There's beauty in pain. There's beauty in difficulties. There's a simple beauty of a thing that's beautiful that everyone admires, unless they're in a really bad place and they might not notice the beauty of it. I don't know. But I know during the dark night of the soul, I sensed the beauty in even the most difficult moments I was experiencing. I could find something beautiful in something around me, no matter what. I remember speaking at a synagogue to some high school students, and I found out after one of those particular presentations that the students and the teacher engaged in a mock trial for my life. And, the teacher had called me and told me about this, and she and I got along really well, and she was a great person. She earned a soft spot in my heart, you know. So there was just no way I could be offended by her. It never occurred to me to be upset with this, but when I heard they, you know, put me on trial for my life, I told my ex, my wife at the time, about it, and she was really offended. She said, "You should never go back there to speak again, ever." And, I thought it was one of the best things that could have happened to me at the time. And, for one, the verdict is that I should live, you know, and I had violated the law, I suppose, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and they decided I should live. Well, I would have loved to have been in the room to overhear that, you know, without their knowing I was hearing it. That'd have been great. But, as they say, it's not my first rodeo. I hear people say it occasionally. And I had heard similar things before, except for I didn't pass the test. One time I gave a presentation to parents and their children. There was alcohol problems that was going on in their families, and the kids were acting up. And then, man, it's like these kids were really young to be having alcohol problems. So, you know, they say alcoholism is a family disease. Disease isn't my favorite word, but whatever. A lot of people throw that out there. I'm just going to say it. It's a family disease. I guess I'd rather say that it really affects the entire family in a very difficult way. But after I gave the presentation, they split us all up, meaning that they took all the kids and they sent them in one direction to sit down with, counselors and instructors and people that had invited me to speak. And I spent time with the parents afterwards. And one of those parents, having heard my story about driving under the influence and killing someone, he just so happens he was a police officer. And I won't say where, for what county or anything, but, and he told me unequivocally that I should have been put to death. I should have been put in the electric chair and fried for what I did. And I told him, well, you know, when the legislature contemplated the consequences for the crime of manslaughter, they hadn't contemplated the death penalty. They didn't think it applied to my particular circumstances. And that his argument wasn't with me. It was with the legislature. And if he thought that the laws should be changed, he should take it up with them. And I told him I've done my time. I served my time. And now I'm trying to do something with my story to make a difference and maybe save some lives. And I think, you know, in the synagogue, I think that's why they said I should live. And is because they know that what I'm doing, I'm trying to save some lives. And whether I'm successful with that, I don't know. Who's, you know, it's like my old spiritual advisor said, you're not going to know that until you get to where you're going. And maybe you'll find out, maybe you won't, but, you know, who knows? But she said, just do your best, you know, be the best Timothy you can be and leave the outcome up to God. And, but, you know, after the synagogue thing, I really crunched over some numbers in my head and some ideas about whether I should live or die. I mean, I was willing to ask myself those questions. You know, do I deserve to be alive? Why am I still alive if I don't deserve to be alive? Why is it that God allowed me to live this long? And all that, you know, I just went down that long, long rabbit hole, right? And that's where I started crunching numbers, you know, and I've had people through the years and say that, you know, my speech saved their life, and they were going down one road and ended up going down another. And you know, who am I to say? I don't know why they thought that after a speech, you know, but if I am to believe them, they said, you know, I saved their lives. And, you know, it's not too many people that have said it, but, you know, probably through the years, I was trying to figure out how many people I had spoken to about at that time in my life. And I think I was speaking for maybe 12 or 13 years. I don't remember, you know, anymore. And, but I thought, okay, I've spoken to a lot of high schools. I've spoken to these different kinds of audiences and mad panels and, you know, and et cetera. And I thought, okay, let's say I've talked to 100,000 people through the years. And, you know, every year I would probably have at least one, but I'm thinking maybe two or three people had said that it saved their lives, you know, and some meant it in a way that was literal, like, you know, they were going to give up, they were going to off themselves or something, you know, but the gravity of their comment was pretty obvious that they, you know, that they were quite sincere when they said it, and it wasn't just a generic sort of a thing. And I really thought, you know, that they saved themselves. I'm in charge of what I say, but they're in charge of what they hear. And, you know, before I speak, I ask God to direct my thinking and my speaking and my hearing and their hearing. So really anything that they get out of it is because I've asked God to direct my thinking. So I don't get the credit, you know, and I'm just a messenger. I'm not the message. And frankly, if they remember me more than what I told them, then I've done them a great disservice, you know, because I'm just like a book. They pick up a book and they read it, and you know, and the value they get from reading my life or my story is it is the thing that is within them already. It's like I'm carrying a key and they're taking that key and they're unlocking a door, but it's their door and it's their hand that holds the key. And the key is a gift from God, and I'm not the key, you know? So, I guess kind of where I'm going with all this is just know that the value of who you are isn't limited by what you've done. And I was watching the Minnesota State Board of Pardons interviewing all these different people and asking them why they thought they deserved a pardon or why they wanted it. And, I started to have a little glimmer of hope about it again myself, like, well, maybe I can get a pardon. I don't know. And this one guy had driven under the influence and killed someone, I think. And they weren't really clear about it all, but I think that's what it was. And one of the three board members, they had to be unanimous in their votes of, allowing it or disallowing the person to have their record, pardoned. And the state, the head of the Supreme Court, whatever she's called, she voted down some people while the governor and the attorney general would vote for letting them go, So she's kind of a hard case. And with this guy who drove under the influence, right after I started to have this glimmer of hope, she tells this guy in the very next, he's like the next guy is being, I think his last name was Huey. I'm going to have to look him up, see if I can get him to be a speaker. And join Phoenix 490. But she said, I'm sorry, you've done some good things and et cetera, and I'm glad these people are stepping up to speak for you. But when somebody has lost their life, I'm never going to pardon that. I just can't do that. That'll never happen. Not on her watch, basically, is what she was saying. And the other two people were good for giving him a pardon, they voted for it. And, but he didn't get the pardon because, he got blackballed by one person. And that's the way this stuff works, So I thought, well, if that's the case, then I'm never going to get pardoned, am I? And I'm never going to be forgiven. A pardon is like a type of forgiveness. And, my crime happened in 1977. And, if it happened in 1777, he's still dead. And that's never going to be right, what I did. But it seems to me that Christ talked about forgiveness. And I've heard that when someone wants to get better, you got to let them. And how can a person get better if they're being held back by someone who won't forgive them? Because, you get a pardon, you can get employment. You can live places you want to live, And it doesn't mean that you necessarily deserve it, People that need forgiveness, and people that maybe deserve love the least need it the most. And the people that deserve forgiveness the least might need it the most too. But if they want it, and they're doing something with their lives and maybe helping other people. And, this is the thing that I think she's missing when she voted against this guy, and I don't know really entirely what he's doing with his life. But she would vote my life down too. And I thought about that cop. If I had been put in the electric chair, like he said, if I got what I deserved, and all I can say is thank God life ain't fair, because if life was fair, I'd be in a lot of trouble, right? But if I would have got killed for my crime, then all those people that said that I saved their lives through the years would also be dead. And now who's going to be held responsible for the people that I would have saved, you see? So who's going to be the one to throw that stone? So I'll leave you with that particular idea and let you cogitate on that. But I'm going to close with one thing that I always do close with is, if you don't tell three people a day that you love them, you probably wasted a day of your life. So I'm going to tell you I love you. Pass it on and make sure that one of the three people you say that you love, or maybe someone you have a hard time telling it to, they might be the ones that need to hear it the most. So pass it on. If you want to keep forgiveness, you got to give it away. As you forgive, you will be forgiven. I think that's in the Lord's Prayer. Take it to the bank. Peace out.